Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how is it going?
Excellent, Connor. Cool as a cucumber today.
That's true. He's saying this because I am a bit stressed. I'm after coming straight from work, and I was like, oh no, I panicked. Sean, I won't make the exact recording time we've chosen.
And I was like, it's fine. We do this online now. It's weird.
But I thought we only had the studio for an hour.
Oh, and it's paid in advance.
So, as I said, this is Movie Mondays. We didn't do a Movie Mondays episode last week. Well, we did a very special Lazarus Pit show that meant that there was two whole weeks of news.
My gosh.
All clogged up into one.
Oh, this explains the stress levels.
It's easy for people who don't put the show together to not be stressed.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. Movie Monday is the easiest part of my week, Connor. Yeah,
you like movies. You like doing nothing. Put them together.
He's not wrong. But look, it's a format that works. You spent the week gathering all of the movie news. And I, much like every other show on this podcast, have done the bare minimum, if not less.
But that's okay, because, Sean, we're starting with this week with a studio that have not done the bare minimum. Now, segues are getting... Apparently they're strong on joint stress days.
If you call attention to the segue, it doesn't work. It stops the flow entirely.
Every time, I'm going to call it. So, about a week and a half ago, a little trailer dropped from a small studio known as Marvel Studios. And
yes,
we're not going to finish on this trailer because it's not that big. But it is an interesting trailer to watch because Marvel put out... It's a little bit of a teaser trailer and also kind of like a thank you to phase 1 to 3. And then showing us what's coming up in phase 4. And the main thing that stood out to me was we've seen some Black Widow. We've seen some Shang-Chi, but this was our first official footage of The Eternals, Sean, a movie not a lot of people know about. And so I thought it'd be interesting if I took this opportunity to maybe ask just once, Sean,
guys,
just who exactly are The Eternals?
Fuck, it's been months since he's asked. Okay.
And what are The Eternals?
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, that's the phrase. So, The Eternals, for those of you that don't know, they're, the Celestials experimented on early humans.
You're going to have to go
deeper.
I've
said eight words. So, they branched off into Celestials, regular humans, and Deviants. Deviants are people like Thanos. They're bad and fucked up. Celestials are basically gods. They've been around all of human history and they've been incorporated into myths and legends. They're also a a cast of very attractive people to cast in a movie.
Oh, just the most attractive humans. They're gods.
They're gods, so they have to be like, which is basically what celebrities are, let's be honest. not to us, but to like people.
No.
So it's, we don't see a whole lot. It's really like just some teaser footage to show like, hey, here's this cast of people. They're in a movie coming up. I like the look of it. We do just see them all standing around in regular clothes.
That is something I was going to ask you about. What is the, like, if they're gods, is the idea that they've come back, is it going to be like a Thor version where he's out of sorts and he comes to Earth and they're all going to be on Earth just in normal clothes?
See, they're not really a fish out of water type thing because they've just integrated within every human society that's ever happened. And the myths have a life of their own after those Eternals move on, if that makes sense. So, like, they could quite comfortably be living in, like, you know, 2023 or whenever the MCU is at this point. I think what they might have done is they might be doing, like, a press conference. Because, and here's the thing, you can see a camera. Right. You can see a camera in a reflection, and it's pretty obvious. So, now, look, probably Marvel just forgot to edit it out. But, what if...
No, but they don't normally do something... not to properly either send you the wrong direction or send you in the right direction. It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah, there's no real accidents. Like, I think what might have happened is, like, after the snap, all these Eternals reveal themselves and be like, look, we're here to help. We've been doing our best. We feel it'd be best if we had a public face or something like that.
Maybe. And then, of all the public faces, put forward Richard Madden. Call it a day.
Absolutely. We didn't see any of Kit Harington in the trailer, and I'm really excited for the Black Knight. I think it's going to be class.
But would he be seen as maybe, I don't know, will he be kind of seen as he's off in the corner, we don't see much of him, and then the big battle at the end happens, and then the Black Knight comes in and fucks some shit up?
Maybe it's that, yeah, and maybe it's like he's the conduit by which we see, like, oh, here's how they acted in the past, like in medieval times, because he has this whole connection to his ancestors and all this shit.
This movie, by the way, not only is it being directed by Chloe Zhao, who... a very talented lady. But,
Oscar winner. For being talented.
Current Oscar winner. Which I think would make her... Alright, I think that's a pretty decent one.
Pretty good to direct a Marvel movie. Yeah.
I don't have one, and I'm pretty decent. So I think she's maybe a step above. But she's directing it. And this movie is apparently meant to span 700 years. So the movie is going to span 700 years and is directed by her, by Chloe. So what that means is apparently they went to Marvel Studios and Kevin Feige and pitched this idea. Like, she went there with this idea that I want to do the Eternals. This is before the Oscar win. Mm. She's like, I want to do the Eternals and I want to do it over 700 years. Which, if you're Kevin Feige, you don't do that unless... it's the greatest pitch of all time, because doing any movie over 700 years, you run the risk of losing people and being like, this is a bit fucking shit, it's all over the place.
Yes, and this is another thing that, like, it's an added level of risk for an already, like, quote-unquote risky project, because we've said it, that Eternals could be like the Guardians of the Galaxy, where you take all these characters who aren't really known in, like, the public eye, in, like, general public knowledge, and you propel them to be, like, the biggest characters in the franchise. But now they're doing it, and now you also have to sell an audience on, oh, yeah, it's, like, 7 centuries of story condensed into 2.5 hours. I love it. I love that idea. But it is a hard fucking
that
sell.
That meant that to sell Kevin Feige on that... you have got to be... she must have known every single point of that plot. From start to finish, all the things in between. Because if there was one plot hole, he'd be like, no, this is too risky. We can't do this. But she must have had walked into the room thinking, I've got this fucking nailed. Nail the absolute pitch out of it. And then think, well, now we're doing an Eternals movie. Out of all the movies Marvel could do.
And I saw a report before we started recording that Eternals 2 is in the works. So fucking they are confident right. in this, man.
Especially because of the cast. Like, they're paying out big, big bucks for Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Kit Harington, Salma Hayek. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a serious cast. And Barry Keoghan, big shout to Bar. Right? But we think he's going to be the big bad, don't we?
Druig, yeah, kind of. Not like a bit worse than Loki. That he's like.
Like a shithouse.
Like a shithouse, yeah. Like self interested shithouse. That's Barry Keoghan.
Okay. The man. And well, also I'm sure in he's the film. No, he's Irish. We have to back him up. But yeah, I just think this could be really good. Also, we have been calling Angelina Jolie as part of the team. We have been absolutely naming her wrong. She's actually going to be playing Tina. So she.
Not Cersei, as we thought.
No, we thought for the last months and months, and I think we even discussed this on the show, but like, we just assumed that she was going to be Cersei because you cast Angelina Jolie, but she's going to be Tina, who's a fierce warrior within yeah. the team, rather than. And Richard Madden is the leader, which I think is a good spot for him.
Yeah, he's Icarus.
Yeah, Icarus. And so he's kind of the leader of the team. You also see Lauren Ridloff's character, Macari? Macari, is that how you pronounce it?
Macari, I always pronounce it. I've only ever seen it written down.
Macari. She is the gift of super speed.
She's like a speedster kind of character.
And you see that in a small moment in the trailer. Like, she speeds in from the side. And I was like, we've seen loads of Flash shows, but for some reason I was like, oh, yes! Oh, yeah. Speedster! For yeah. one moment.
And we've seen speedsters in Marvel. But, like, yes. something about this one, just like, oh, this looks cool. I was going to say about after, like, the Eternals footage that we saw, we got the next, like, the coming slate of movies.
Yes.
As well, at the end yeah. of this trailer.
And then you had Thor Love and Thunder, you've got Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange, in the Multiverse of Madness. I mean, that is a strong goal over, along with Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah, couple of name changes. It's now Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and yes. The Marvels.
The Marvels is Captain Marvel 2. We will come to that, by the way.
Oh, right, okay. The show. Perfect.
But yeah, so that is the Marvel trailer that dropped.
And Fantastic Four. We saw Fantastic Four logo.
Yeah, and just this small little movie called Fantastic Four that we will also talk about. Or, sometimes I know what's coming up, Sean, and I just don't want to even delve into it
nice
before we get
included,
to it.
You know, I'm just saying, what if it's Captain America 4? There we go. The biggest bait and switch of all time.
Captain America 4. And they already told us about it. Guys, we're doing an Iron Man 4. Bringing him back.
Shane Black is back.
Barry Keoghan is playing Tony Stark.
Oh, he could do it. I think he's good enough.
I think he's good enough. So, Sean, last week also was a little day called May 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Now, on that day was some things to do with nerd stuff. Is it Star Trek? Well, what's the one on May 4th?
Galaxy Quest.
Stargate Atlantis? Is that the one?
Battlestar Galactica. It's Star Wars. Battlestar Galactica. Star Wars.
And we're going to run out of properties.
I was saying the bit is wearing thin.
The rule of three went to six. So what the news I have this week is because May 4th came around, of course, Star Wars always like to announce some big news either on the day or the week, or the days afterwards. And the news is that there are multiple Star Wars animated movies rumoured to be in development at Lucasfilm, Sean.
Multiple. Excellent.
Multiple animated films.
Right. Okay,
the last one, I feel like animation in terms of movies, the last one was The Clone Wars.
In terms of like full feature-length movie. And then they've gone into more series as like Clone Wars, the series, Rebels, and now we have The Bad Batch as well, which came out on May the 4th.
Do you think that a lot of things have been talked about Star Wars fatigue over the last few years, and they might also have something to do with Palpatine just being back? But
somehow happens.
So he just turned up, he just rocked on in. We were like, what are you doing here? Thought you were dead.
He was like, I mean, McDermott, I can't die.
But what's interesting is, if there's Star Wars fatigue, do you think an animated like an animated film will bypass that, is kind of what I'm asking here.
I think it's more targeted, because you're targeting the people who really like Star Wars and the animated Star Wars stuff. Especially now that they have the avenue of Disney Plus, where they can just like, it's there, and if you want to watch it, it can. You can. I don't know if it'll go, if they'll all go to cinemas, is the thing.
But imagine they did. Imagine even one of them did. Because the Clone Wars, I think, went to cinema and it made like $70 million or something in like 2008. Something like that.
Yeah, that was really weird though, because you had Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and then you had Star Wars Clone Wars, which was the TV show.
Yeah, very weird.
They were airing like at the same time. And I remember thinking, I was like peak Star Wars fan at that point. And I was like, can I just watch the show and it's the same as the movie, but cut up into 22-minute segments? Like, it was a bit of a weird launch that it had. I don't know if it has the legs to have a full cinema release for an animated Star Wars movie. I'd love to be proved wrong. But, like, at the minute, I think they're doing really well with their shorter episodic series.
But Lucasfilm have a way of seeing what they're doing well and then going the opposite direction to what they were doing.
Or they lean too heavily into it all.
Mm. They're going to do a 22-minute movie.
But, like, do you remember when... We had Solo, A Star Wars Story, and there was about six other projects announced. Yeah. Like the Boba Fett film, another Solo story, the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Yeah. And they just dropped them all without like pause. They're just like, no, we're done. We're just going to focus on one project at a time now. They made that announcement. And it feels like they're kind of slipping back into... Oh, well, Marvel's putting out four movies a year, so...
And I suppose they're all under the same umbrella. So the guys at Disney are kind of like, Marvel are putting out four movies a year, and you're her other's biggest money bags property, and we kind of need you to start picking it up, lads.
Yeah, it's kind of similar in a way to what happened like in the 80s and 90s, where you had all these weird Star Wars projects that just kept cropping up, like the Holiday Special and the R2-D2 and C-3PO cartoon that was running around. Like, yeah. they're going into every avenue and they're seeing if it sticks. I feel like it's an element of that as well.
It's a massive risk, though, like, to put out an animated film in Star Wars. I would actually, you know what? I think it'd be cool. I think they should try one and see how much money it makes. And look, if it's bad, just put the rest of it on Disney Plus. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But go for one cool one, and you can go as mad as fucking possible. Like, you're always talking about, is it Revan?
Darth Revan. I was just going to say...
Do a Darth Revan film in animated form and go batshit insane. Go full into it.
Yeah, because with Revan as well, because his whole thing is that he was a fallen Jedi, basically. So you could do three animated films about Revan. One, his rise as being the best Jedi. Then his fall, it happens at the end. Then the next film, it's him as the best Sith. And then the third film is all about his redemption.
Yeah. Because he went from good to bad back to good.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I'll be honest, they all blur together a little bit.
He just so many turns.
Tree-faced Revan, we call him.
He's constantly like, yeah, I'm going to... You know, he constantly pulls out the chair for you, and then just before you sit down, he pulls the chair out from underneath you.
Fucking Charlie Brown in the football to you, yeah.
Now, Revan, don't do it again, right? I've tried to kick this ball four times. Oh, for fuck's sake, Revan.
You're a dickhead.
Joke's on me, to be fair. I trusted you again. I will admit, that was on me. I just think, where do you go? Like, do you do it off familiar characters or do you do it off people? Do you use the animated films to try out films, Star Wars movies, about characters we haven't yet met, rather than doing animated films about Obi-Wan, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, and I think do it for characters we've never met. The reason we have Ahsoka Tano, who's one of the most popular Star Wars characters, is because of an animated Star Wars film.
Mm.
Like, she was introduced in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. So, I mean, DC do that all the time. Like, the DC animated movie branch, like, they constantly, in terms of Justice League or with Batman, they just throw shit at the wall.
Yeah.
And they... And look, if one of the movies is bad, it's grand. It's gone straight to DVD. But if it's good, people are like, oh, fuck, this is a character people like. Let's put him live action.
Exactly, like, yeah. Yeah. And, like, even if there's a couple of bad films, if you get one Mask of the Phantasm out of it, like...
Or Under the Red Hood. Like, Under the Red Hood is there, and since that movie came out, everyone is just like, put out a Jason Todd Under the Red Hood film in live action, for God's sake.
Yeah, so I think there is definitely a space for... I don't think it would do as well as a live action Star Wars movie. But
no.
But then again, I'm basing this off of, like, the Clone Wars and how animation was treated back then. Now we've had, like, you know, Spider-Verse and all of the other amazing, like... superhero-related animated movies that have come out. And, like, it's... You can do different things now. Like, you can properly make it an experience.
Yeah, and you can go all in, and I think people will take it more seriously. Like, back in 2008, the two genres that... Superhero movies were changing, but, like, really, it wasn't until, like, all the... Marvel really started gaining traction that superhero films and animated films, people were like, oh, yeah, Pixar do them. Pixar do them, and then there's Batman movies. That's okay, but, like, nowadays if you put one out, and put it out on Disney Plus as well, and see what happens. I mean, people like Star Wars, people aren't very hot on it at the minute, but people like Star Wars. So, just try it out, and if it's not good, then we're like, okay, well, it's just an animated movie. But if it is, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly, and, like, you have that space to tell stories where you don't need to commit to, here's the next Skywalker, you know, you can just tell a fucking story.
No, I think we should do next Skywalker. Let's do another one.
The final last Skywalker for definite, guys, we promise. Episode 10.
I promise, like, this is the last one until he has a niece. Maybe or a nephew, or maybe or a cousin he doesn't know about.
Harrison Ford's in this one.
He's Skywalker. So we're going to move on to the news of Fantastic Four, Sean. And I have a bit of an update that is a rumour. So I don't want to go all in, but it does go along with thoughts that we've already had. And that is Fantastic Four talks rumoured to be happening with Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Sean, the rumour mill is going wild that these two are currently being tracked out by Marvel Studios as top of their wish list to play the characters of Fantastic Four.
Right, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. I think if they weren't considered... they would absolutely be missing a trick. Like, it just makes no fucking sense to not consider them at this point after the amount of online campaigning and everything that's gone on to get them these roles. But I hope Marvel, and I think they do, like, their casting is unreal. I hope they have the balls to say, no, you're not right for this project.
Right, okay.
In terms of, like, looks and chemistry... yeah, I think they'd be very good together. But if it doesn't fit with the story they have for Fantastic Four and what they need those characters to be, then don't shoehorn them in just to please the internet.
I do understand that, but I also think that Emily Blunt has already actually turned down the role of the Invisible Woman. She turned it down in February, I think, or March. And that was just because that she didn't want to sign on to a multi-picture deal at that time. Because Emily Blunt is a very busy woman. She's all constantly just starring in all these new projects. So maybe she doesn't want to be tracked down to, like, you have three films you have to do no matter what. And Marvel only really give out those kind of contracts. But the latest rumours is that maybe that she can be actually turned around. She's kind of come back around to it. And I think the main drawing point would be if... as simple as it is, but if John Krasinski sings, I could play Mr. Fantastic, she might eventually think, you know what, I could sign off for three films doing movies with my husband because we could just hang out and then it's just a lot easier rather than me being on one side of the country and him being on the other. It just makes sense, especially because they're two perfectly cast people and everyone is after it. I suppose it's all just down to them themselves, the two of them.
No, absolutely, and like, I don't get me wrong, I would love to see them in the roles, but... not at the cost of making a good film. I also think God help him on that fucking press tour, because every question will be, what's it like to act with your partner? It's like, I've answered this 400 times.
But they've already done A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place 2, so I don't think those questions could already be asked. Although, actually, it's a press tour.
It's a press tour. They're definitely going to be...
Two questions. One, what's it like acting with your wife? Is there any pranks on set? Two, how'd you get so buff?
Yeah.
Why, you're so muscly.
Why did we keep Billy Elliot as the Thing?
Jamie, you're back in. Yeah, his agent is like, Jamie, they're looking for the Thing again.
He's there gluing rocks to himself.
I've been waiting. 2015, they said.
The thing about it is, though, like, Reed Richards, most of the time in the comics, is a bastard.
Yeah, and I don't think John Krasinski can play a bastard.
No, I think he's too nice a man. Name one thing. Well, he's kind of a bully in The Office.
Yes, true. He's constantly bullying. Constantly making snide remarks and looking at the camera. I don't like it.
How about this? You have John Krasinski, Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
You cast Rainn Wilson as Doctor Doom.
The Thing.
That's the Thing.
Because he has to be mean to him.
Just has to pick on him the whole time. Solved. Problem solved.
There's also another rumour that if Emily Blunt doesn't want it again the second time, they're still thinking of Krasinski, but they're also going to look at Jennifer Lawrence playing Sue Storm. But I don't know if she would sign on for another multi-picture deal with a superhero film.
Yeah, I think she might have been burned with X-Men.
But she wouldn't have to put any makeup on in this. Like, blue makeup for 6 hours.
She doesn't even have to fucking be there on set if she doesn't want to. She's invisible.
She's an invisible woman. It's fine. Just put a few force fields up, call it a day.
Just put on the invisible makeup there, Jen. You'll be great.
Oh, Jen, classic Jen. It's just like an empty chair. There she goes again.
Oh, always at things, that Jen. But the... I think... I'm more excited just to see this movie, because they have to get this one right, don't they?
How can they get it wrong, though? I mean, not in terms of story, but it can't be any worse, would be my going in feeling is like, 2015 happened. We've reviewed it on the Lazarus Pit, Sean.
Yeah.
I rewatched that movie and I remembered how bad it was. And just been like, wow, this really falls apart after a good 15 minutes.
It's just, yeah, it goes to shit so quickly. That this one, and even like the other two, which are like serviceable for the time.
Second one, not so much. First one, maybe, I suppose.
But like, I just feel... You know everything not to do going into this one. You have the most money you've ever had to cast someone in this project. So just
You've unlimited money.
You got Disney books. Just do it right this time, please.
But I think they will. Like, it's in the MCU now. So, and the worst it's going to be is Thor: The Dark World, which is still better than 2015 Fantastic Four, I would say.
I think so. Thor: The Dark World, I haven't rewatched that in a while.
Don't.
Is it really that bad?
Don't. Okay, we're going to move on to something actually that involves those two actors again, Sean, because a little trailer dropped during this week, and that was for A Quiet Place Part 2, a film that was meant to come out last year and has been pushed back to this year. But, so what they do is now they have to put out a new trailer, because they have to remind everyone that this film is still coming out. And so, A Quiet Place 2 trailer, the final trailer has come out before it debuts this month in cinemas. Sean, you've watched it, what did you think of this trailer?
When you told me that we were going to be talking about this trailer and I needed to watch it, my initial reaction was, I feel like I've already seen so much of this movie. Like, I can't see that scene of them panicking in traffic again. But watching it, it's a really nice take on it, because it's literally John Krasinski, his first experience of something weird going on. He's in the store, just something on the news, classic trope. And then it's a montage of a series of shots setting up the conflict of the film.
Did you just describe every trailer?
I just described the trailer, guys. So buckle in for some analysis.
Eventually he's going to have to actually talk about the trailer, not just trailers as a whole.
No, but that's the thing, is that this trailer, it does a really good job being a trailer, because I still don't know the ins and outs of the plot. They haven't Amazing Spider-Man'd this, where I know roughly that, look, obviously, at the end of the last film, some things went down, they had to leave the farm. They're looking for somewhere to stay. Emily Blunt in this looks fucking, like she has a singular goal, which is, I need to get somewhere safe so I can fucking rest, because I have had a mental last few hours.
Because I've had a bad day, lads. A fucking bad day.
And so they go and they find Gary Oldman. They're looking for shelter there. This is what I want to say.
Did you say Gary Oldman?
Killian Murphy.
Gary Oldman? I was like, did this movie get Gary Oldman in as well?
He's
what a cast.
What am I thinking of? What's Gary Oldman in that's a post-apocalypse?
Batman Begins is Gary Oldman and Killian Murphy. Is that the link?
Gary Oldman, is he in Planet of the Apes? He is. He's in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He plays a very similar character to what Killian Murphy is playing.
Come with me, you'll be safe. Oh no, now I'm dead.
Oh no. But yeah, I think this movie is going to be told partly in the past and partly in the present.
You think?
I think we're going to have a fair few flashbacks to John Krasinski getting everyone out. Things that he teaches them in the past will solve problems in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout.
Because the whole thing is going to be like, your dad's not really gone, he's always with us, that kind of deal.
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Yeah. Just get to the monsters. John, cool. Don't make noise. We get it, right? Jesus. No, I think John Krasinski, although he wrote the film, the first one, he directed it, I think they always had to have him in this film. So that is a good shout that you have some flashbacks. He teaches them some things, and then it's them surviving in the future. Which I think is very interesting, but this movie does break our one rule, and we've talked about it before with this film, that it gives us an origin for the big monster, if we know what happened. And I don't like that at all. I love when the monster is just a monster, and we just be like, jeez, that's a monster. That's probably the bad guy. It's killing a bunch of people. Alien style to Prometheus. Not a big fan of that either.
Yeah, it's like trying to explain the Cloverfield monster. That'd be a fucking stupid idea.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, look, I wonder how in-depth the origin is going to go. Like, this film surely won't go as far as Emily Deschanel, Emily Blunt. Fuck me, I can't think today. Emily Deschanel, Bones.
Bones. Is Bones in this? Bones and Gary Oldman, double team.
They had to have been in something together. We'll figure that out later. But yeah, Emily Blunt and the alien, they're not going to have like a conversation about each other's goals, are they?
That's the last scene. It's just them sitting down on Letterman. Now, right, the two of ye... The Letterman's in the middle. He's doing a Netflix special. He's trying to get those ratings. So he's just like, now, Emily Blunt, you've had some problems with the big monster over here.
No, John's been fine. He's been lovely to act with.
I think that this movie could be really, really good, which would be so impressive for a film that really didn't need a sequel.
Yeah, it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't warrant a sequel. A one and done was perfect for that first film. It's amazing. If you haven't seen A Quiet Place, go watch it. I'm not a fan of horror films in general, but it's like, it's just tension at all times. You're just on the edge of your seat. Like, the first 25 minutes, there's no sound, and then a waterfall starts, and I remember being in the cinema, like, freaking out, like, that was the first time I'd heard noise in half an hour, and I was like, what is this? This is so loud! get this noise away!
So, yeah, like, I am still excited for this film. It's coming out in theatres only, that's something that was announced, which I feel is going to be a thing that's announced for a lot more movies coming out in the future. That's like a theatre-only release, and that's a selling point for it. Coming out at the end of the month. Will I go see it? I'm not sure. I'm still a bit nervous about the world, Connor.
Well, Ireland is a bit of a difficult place, Sean. I mean, we are really bad.
We are, yeah, we're not doing great, lads.
We're still in lockdown since Christmas.
Yeah, it just slightly eased today.
Good job, guys. Good job.
We did it. We all did it together. No, but look, I think this, if it's even like three quarters as good as the first one, it'll be a solid movie.
First one, on a budget of $17 million, made $350 million.
Fuck.
And so, guaranteed they were going to do a sequel. The minute it made more than like $20 million, they were like, yeah, sequel.
Yeah, this is profitable.
Yeah.
Look, we'll wait and see. I hope it's good. There was a lot of like early reviews and they said it was quite good.
Okay, well that's a good start. Normally, sometimes the reviews are like, it's okay, that normally means it's quite bad. So, yeah. If they say it's good, it could be fine. Okay, Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. This involves Superman. Now, there's been a lot of rumours, a lot of talk about what DC were going to do about a different Superman. A Superman remake that was not going to be part of the DCEU, but it was going to be maybe, perhaps, like, in an Elseworld situation, or part of, like, the Batman universe.
That's it's a fucking ridiculous sentence that you've just said. I hope you're aware of that.
I can't even remember anything what I just said.
It's just a whole bunch, like, it makes sense to, like, us and people listening. But try and explain that to anyone on the streets.
Look, they did a Superman and they don't want Henry Cavill. He's busy doing The Witcher. They're doing another Superman, but they don't want to involve him in the previous Superman's universe.
Good. Okay, so what's the solution?
So, they're going to do a J.J. Abrams-led Superman film, but he will not be directing the remake, as previously taught. But he will be behind it, because they brought J.J. in to do a lot of Justice League Dark projects, like Constantine and Zatanna, and he's going to be working on all of them on HBO Max. But within its deal, they were also going to be doing a Superman film that they have officially confirmed they are looking for a black Superman to play, which I read that and me and you both know the same thing. Surely it's Michael B. Jordan, the man who cast himself as Superman last year to DC and was like, I'll play Superman. They were like, we'll think about it. And now this new movie is happening, and if they don't cast Michael B. Jordan, surely they've lost their fucking minds.
I mean, like, He has the build down. Like, he looks like a peak human.
He's a Superman.
He is quite the Superman, I would say. Mm. But like, the thing about it, like, there's other actors as well, even if it's not Michael B. Jordan. Have you seen The Good Place?
Can I just ask? Are you advocating the not casting of Michael B. Jordan and breaking the one sacred rule we have on this show?
Look, Michael B. Jordan could play Sue Storm and we all know it. But I just want...
he fucking would kill it.
He'd do fucking great.
He'd never play Johnny Storm, though. He's too good for that.
Too good for... Oh, no. Oh, heavens. He was good. The movie was shit. But look, no, honestly, Michael B. Jordan would be an amazing shout. I did see one that I really liked. It was... Have you watched The Good Place on Netflix?
I have, yeah.
It's the guy who plays Chidi in that.
Yes.
I know for a fact he'd be a really good Clark Kent, because he's just this, like, timid dude in that show. And I'd love to see him, like, you know, do the full Superman transformation thing.
And do you think that, perhaps them doing this, as much as it pains me to say, I think this could be, like, a massive deal. I think it would be so cool. Like, if you had this Superman and Robert Pattinson's Batman, same universe. Yeah. Like, that would be so cool. And you could just star again with, like, a younger heroes rather than... And, like, Henry Cavill gets a lot of shit, but I think he's perfectly... He looks like Superman. I mean,
he's a great cast.
Yeah, if you were going to cast every human being on Earth to play Superman, you just pick Henry Cavill. It's just like, yeah, you, play him. But I think he was done a bit dirty by the writing and the directing and making him sad Superman. And so you have a whole new chance to do this right. Do you think J.J. Abrams, maybe not directing, but being involved in the process, is the right man to get this going in the right direction.
I don't know, because I'm not the biggest J.J. Abrams fan. But
J.J. Abrams.
I do realise that like his name carries a lot of weight, and it can get doors opened and it can get things pushed through. If having J.J. Abrams on board in any capacity, whether it's writing or producing or whatever, if that lets them do what they want with this movie and not be pressured into, let's add some jokes for no reason, that would be, that's a really worthy reason to have him on board. And if he's interested in the project as well, fair play to him.
I just think this could be such a fascinating project to bring in. And look, I know you're picking other people, but Michael B. Jordan, if he doesn't get it, I'm rioting.
You're right.
I think this is literally the easiest slam dunk you could ever make. Like Batista playing Bane. If Michael B. Jordan, if you're casting this Superman, just cast him. He wants to play the role, and he's quite good.
Are you just fleshing out your dream Robert Pattinson Batman universe?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to make a world's finest film where Bane is the villain.
My God, that's class, by the way.
yes, it is. Okay. Robert Pattinson, Michael B. Jordan, Batista as Bane. Give it to me, hook it into my veins.
Jared Leto Joker.
Okay, I'm out. I'm actually walking away from the project.
What if that was the stipulation, that in order for Michael B. Jordan to be Superman, you had to accept Jared Leto as the definitive Joker in all media?
And Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, and Mark Hamill just like, what the fuck, man? Come on.
All right, doing my boy Joaquin dirty.
Joaquin. what's your man's name? Romero?
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero. The mustache over the white makeup. I think that I would accept that because I could just ignore him. I've seen him in Justice League at the very end. I just ignored him then. I just forgot that scene even existed afterwards. And I think I could do the same. I think I could black it out just to get the rest of it.
Okay, well, I'll make a call. We'll put that in place.
Yeah, you have a chat with them. You could actually probably ring them up. The DC are accepting all ideas.
I don't take anything at this point. Yeah, JJ. Yeah, he went for it. Okay.
So we are moving on to news that it's very interesting that we were talking about that, Sean, because this is Warner Brother news.
Oh.
And this is about Joker 2, because confirmation this week that Joker 2 is definitely being planned at Warner Brothers after being taught to be maybe, sort of.
Fuck.
It is now pretty much official that maybe director Todd Phillips is coming back. Maybe Yakin is coming back. I'm sure he has to, because he's the Joker. They're going to be doing a Joker 2, which they say not one sequel, Sean, that we talked about, but it could be two.
No, they're not doing this.
Yes.
Is this because of Todd Phillips' proven success with the Hangover trilogy?
He normally gets better with every single sequel.
The third one is the best, definitely.
Mm.
That's a fucking thunderously dumb idea. This is again because Joker made a lot more than it cost. So it's very successful. But the second one, I think we said this in our Joker review. Because I think the Joker movie is like grand. I think it's fine. You hate it with a passion.
I wouldn't say hate it with a passion. I just don't understand its existence, which is different.
That's how I feel about two sequels to that movie. Because what do you do in that? Like, it's not the fall of a man, or it's not like redemption. You can't redeem him.
No. But at the same time, it made $1 billion and earned Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he won a Best Actor for it.
Yeah, but surely that's all the more reason not to... Me being like an idealist, being like, let's just art, let have art be art, and you just do one of them. But no, it's like it's the machine, and
movies. It made $1 billion, and they're like, well, we can make another $1 billion if we do it again.
And they're like, oh, in 2020 we made $0 billion, so...
That's 0 billions! That's less billions! That's,
we need more billions, boys.
We noticed, by the way, that because DC put forward just other elements of what the studio was planning at the minute, because of the whole J.J. Abrams thing with Superman, and it was noted that projects such as The Batman and Joker will still exist as standalones and will not be part of the multiverse that they're planning. So Robert Pattinson's Batman is going to be off on its own like the Joker. But the report then mentioned Joker and its planned sequel will be a standalone. So we know it's guaranteed one sequel. It could be two.
Yes. Yeah, it'd be weird to only do one sequel, I think. If you are going to do it, fucking double down on the dog shit. But it's not going to be... Like, it's actually the opposite of, like... No, sorry, it's very similar to how I felt about A Quiet Place 1, that it doesn't warrant a sequel. It's fine to just leave that story there. Because you're gonna... They're gonna Smallville this, and it's gonna be, like, 15 years later, and the very last shot is fucking someone putting on a bat cowl.
That's it. Because we know his parents died. We've seen
it. We saw it. I was never as happy in a cinema as when I saw those fucking pearls hit the ground. And I just thought...
Because I was wondering. I was literally sitting there going, I want to see... Where's Martha and why is she not dead? I want to see a dead body.
Why are the Waynes alive?
I'm just looking at them like, I'm so... Just give me dead Waynes. I love dead Waynes.
Love murdering Waynes.
I think a sequel for Joker completely makes the first one immediately less cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand the existence of the first one, but if you bring a second one, that to me implies that the first one no longer has that cool factor of like, we don't give a shit, we're just going to do this standalone film that's weird and we don't even know, we don't even care if you like it, it's R-rated.
Yeah.
It's fucking edgy.
And we're going to give it an ambiguous ending for no reason.
Yeah, and then it makes money, and they're like, now we're going to make a part of a machine. Yeah, we're edgy.
Now there's the formula. Here's all the phases of planning we've gone through.
Yeah, that's what punk rock's all about, man. Planning.
Spreadsheets.
So they are going to be doing a Joker 2. Joaquin Phoenix coming back could be great. I think it'll make loads of money. But I don't think there's... I don't even know. I don't think I'm the right person to ask this because I didn't even think the first one warranted to exist. Even though it's a good film, I think Joaquin Phoenix is amazing in the role.
Yeah,
I don't. It's and I think he's great casting. So I'm sure he probably wants to come back and replay a role that he won an Oscar for.
Maybe, but also like maybe he feels done with that character. You know, like, and look, we don't know the man. We can't speak for him. But I think like it's hard to get like. The same performance. It's hard to capture that same magic in the sequel, I think. Like, we had that shock factor of, oh, this is the Joker. This is the canonical origin of every version of the Joker.
And you had the massive, like, PR stunt of, like, oh, it's R-rated, it's fucked up, it's ruining everyone's lives, oh, man.
Yeah.
And that, like, just made them even more money. But you couldn't do that again. You can't have the second one come out like, this is going to ruin society, again, even though the first one didn't.
But this one, for sure.
This one, the first one just kind of let you know which of your friends were dickheads. But now, now this one's going to ruin society.
It's to let you know which of your family members are dickheads.
It's even deeper, man. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And this is another sequel, Sean. Nothing but sequels. Our last two stories are actually both sequels. But the first one is about Captain Marvel. And that is the fact that Captain Marvel will be getting a sequel. And we have the synopsis for that sequel, Sean.
Interesting.
Now, it is... There was a name change that... Can you remember what the name was changed to?
The Marvels?
Yes, The Marvels. So they changed it to that and then they've brought out the official synopsis logline. So I'll read that out to you now. Marvel Studios' The Marvels will feature Brie Larson returning to the role of Captain Marvel. She'll be joined by... I'm going to pronounce this lady's name wrong. Tiana Paris?
Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yeah, who was first introduced as Monica Rambeau in WandaVision... along with Iman Vellani, who will appear as Miss Marvel in the upcoming Disney Plus series of the same name. So you're going to have all three of them directed by Nia DaCosta. And so all three of them will be in the one film. Sean, how powerful is that team, and who, what villain could even face that?
I'm really not sure. Like, that has to be... it's really weird, because without knowing the extent of, like, how powerful they're making Ms. Marvel in this, but even with just Photon and Captain Marvel, that's an overpowered team. Like, those two can do pretty much whatever they want. So I don't know. Do you set it on Earth, or do you go space?
I think Monica Rambeau is set on Earth, really. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, and I think Miss Marvel is also set on Earth. So
wait a minute.
I think, go on.
Secret Invasion.
You think they're doing full Secret Invasion?
Not full, but I think it's gonna. There's gonna be, Skrulls. Like that weird splinter cell of Skrulls that invade Earth in the Secret Invasion series. I think they're going to be fighting a branch of them, maybe, in Captain Marvel, or in the Marvels.
Okay.
So it's like, it's the best of both worlds. It's space and Earth.
Right, okay. Because the first thing I thought of when I read that was like, those three are too powerful. There's like, Thanos would not stand a chance against those three. So I'm interested to see who would. But if the Skrulls are there, they could fuck with their minds, I suppose.
Yeah, and maybe it comes down to, it's not a power thing. It's a, it's like an endurance kind of thing. It's like, you just have to be willing to put up the fight.
And I think, like, the point of the first one with Carol Danvers was she's learning to use her powers.
Yeah.
And she's learning to get to grips with them. But at this stage, we've seen her in Avengers Endgame. Like, she's just as powerful as Thor. Like, she will just fuck anyone up. So if you have Thor in the... But I suppose the Thor film has the same problem. Thor 4. Like, he's got him and Natalie Portman in it. And you've got... You could have Zeus in it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it could go a whole host of other ways as well. I think it's a case of, once you're dealing with gods, it's a power level thing of, who do you put them up against?
Yes. And I've been doing some Googling here. Apparently, it's a character called Michael Korvac. Is apparently the villain, who is born on the moon, of an alternate Earth in the year 2997. What?
He's made of cheese.
Made of cheese, absolutely.
Because he's born on the Earth, or on the moon. Never mind.
So he's a cyborg man, and he works with computers and a whole bunch of stuff. Transported through time by the Grandmaster, played by Jeff Goldblum. They're looking, apparently, for a Timothy Chalamet or Michael B. Jordan type for the role.
Sorry, what are the two choices?
Timothy Chalamet. Soft boy Timothy Chalamet or Michael B. Jordan.
Who is the casting director?
Somewhere in that range.
I would just like, you know, a human man. Just generally, I'm thinking maybe between the ages of 10 and 80.
if he could have, multiple limbs, ideal.
Multiple ears, between the height of 4'11" and 6'9". Just around there. That's kind of what we're looking for. It's very specific. there's no other role in Hollywood. The two of them are on the casting list. Like, we want, these are the type of people we need.
Yeah, it's like they're nearly different genres of movie at this point.
Like, I'm both amazing actors, but there's no way someone's like, it's come down to Timothy or Michael B. Jordan for this role.
My
if
gosh.
We don't know who to cast for, it's for the same part.
It's for Dune.
It's for June.
Just to sum up that Michael Korvac character, by the way, I might do a Hero or Zero on him at some point, but his power grid, for those of you that don't listen to Hero or Zero, the Marvel power rating goes from 1 to 7 across a few topics. Intelligence of 7, strength of 7, speed of 7, durability of 7, energy projection of 7, fighting skills of 2.
Fuck. Yeah.
He's pretty good. He was nearly able to overwhelm Doctor Strange.
Right. Oh, see, Doctor Strange is more magic. Carol Danvers is more just, like, badass power. Like, and lasers and
cosmic
and
energy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, vague cosmic energy as opposed to vague magic. They're both vague, but different vague. Yeah, I think 7's across the board, except for 1, 2. That's pretty good.
Yeah, like, it's... you might need 3 people on that.
Because he's stronger than basically everyone we've ever talked about on Hero Zero, then.
Pretty much, yeah, except for Squirrel Girl, who is 7's across the board.
Yeah, she's the only one who's, like, invincible.
She's invincible, she just always wins, that's her thing.
Even Spider-Man isn't, like... He's, like, 7, 5, 4, 7.
Yeah, he's up there in a lot of them.
What's Thanos?
What's Thanos? Oh, that's a good...
Yeah.
We need to establish these frames of reference, I think. It's like, oh, this is how powerful this character is. Let me just scroll through the longest Wikipedia page in the world.
Well, I mean, Thanos has been around a while.
Thanos is intelligence of 6, strength of 7, speed of 3, durability of 6, energy projection of 6, and fighting skills of 4.
So this
that's
guy
without
kill
the
him.
Gauntlet, by the way.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But that'll show you how powerful the other guy is.
Yeah, like that's the thing, is that that's the nice thing about this system, is that it does basically anyone can be on that scale, and it's just wherever you land. So I think it's going to be a nice team up. You will also have, because we saw in WandaVision, Monica Rambeau doesn't seem to be the biggest fan of Carol Danvers at the minute. So I bet it's going to be a thing of like
conflict,
and Captain Marvel taking Miss Marvel under her wing, probably, and Monica Rambeau is like, don't fucking do that, she's a bad person. Then they all learn to be friends at the end.
Because you gotta come together, because otherwise they're gonna lose.
Nah, they need to fight as a team, they're stronger
yes!
together. Like the end of Fantastic Four, 2015.
It's like the Megazord. So, Sean, just one more person. Could you just look up before we tell our last story? Is a man called Venom. Can you study? Can you look up Venom's power level?
Edward Brock. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up. Oh my God, there's so many. Sorry. Anytime you just type in a character on the Marvel Wiki, it brings up every version of that character. And there's so many, like, one-offs where, what if Wolverine was Venom? Like, all this kind of shit. So it's the longest page I've ever seen. Eddie Brock. Where is he? Probably under E, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah, sorry, were you spelling Eddie with a U?
I was. It was a silent V at the start. Here we go.
Number 3.
Yeah, it was Leet speak. So on the 1-7 rating system for Venom, here we go. There we go. Intelligence of 3, strength of 4, speed of 2, durability of 6, energy projection of 1, fighting skills of 4.
So, actually, it's so funny you mentioned Venom there, Sean, because our last story is the Venom trailer.
What?
Venom 2!
Oh, God. For those that don't know, Connor watched this trailer before the show, and I got to hear his thoughts live, and my God, I want to hear more, Connor.
So, yes, the Venom 2 trailer dropped, and we have the introduction, the return of Tom Hardy as Mr. Eddie Brock, and Mr. Cletus Cassidy being played by Woody Harrelson, and because this movie is Let There Be Carnage. Now, you told me, Sean, you love Venom 1, so you've been absolutely dying for this movie to come out, because you love Spider-Man. And I know you love Spider-Man. Venom. He's part of that world. So,
technically.
Sean, you have watched this trailer, and I've watched it. You've heard my opinion. But, Sean, what were your thoughts on this trailer originally?
I think I sighed through a lot of this trailer. Because it's just tiring. It's like, I know exactly what you're trying to do, but I hate it.
My first note is Venom is fucking cooking, and then when the Venom is like me hungry, me or yummy, he keeps saying yummy, and then I just wrote this looks fucking off.
Yeah, it's that scene goes on for too long for a trailer.
Way too long.
Way.
You've got 2 minutes in a trailer. Give me all the good bits.
Give me the nice bit. I don't like this version of Venom, which I think is a lot of my problems with this trailer. It's just that, like, because Venom can be funny, but he's also fucking terrifying at the back of it. But I don't believe.
And by the way, Andy Serkis is directing this.
Good. We like Andy Serkis on the show. He seems a nice man. But it feels like really weakly written. Like they're not committing to any aspect of Venom. They want him to be a little bit of everything, but also family friendly because he's PG-13 in this world.
And I don't like family friendly Venom. I mean, I don't like hero Venom. I don't like anti-hero Venom. I like Spider-Man as being the do-gooder, and he's just trying to survive, and he's coming up against this adult who has this fucking monster inside him that wants to fuck him up.
Yeah, like, and he does, like, he is kind of a hero now in the comics, but he'll still do bad shit, like, he'll still kill. The way this trailer is set up, it's an odd couple kind of thing that they're doing. Or isn't it funny that Eddie Brock and the Venom symbiote are living together? And then Eddie Brock just goes to see Cletus Kasady a whole bunch, which I think they changed the wig on him, by the way.
Yeah, it's a different wig.
Yeah, because it looks better.
Woody doesn't fuck around with wigs. He's going good wig or nothing.
Wiggy Harrelson, they call him.
Wiggy Harrelson.
So he's basically they needed to do Carnage for the sequel, so they just put fucking Carnage in.
Yeah, and it just like, who else do we have? We only have Carnage, and they're the only two characters people like when they're together. Fucking throw them in. We've got them here.
And I actually wrote, I am really thankful that the characters are two different colours this time.
What I will say is, the main thing that stood out to me about watching this trailer is, one, it looked awful at the start. I mean, you have a 2-minute trailer, just show me the good bits, but then that scares me that there's no good bits. Because, I will say, trailers come out when films are not fully done, they're still working on the CGI, but I thought the CGI looked fucking hideous in this trailer.
It looks really bad, and it looks about on par with the first Venom.
That's why I'm thinking it's actually done, because it's about on par with the first one, and it wasn't really good then either. It's just, like, watching all the, like, all, I don't know, the tentacles coming out of them, I was just, that didn't look real to me. It looked like flubber. I was just kind of watching it like, this is not very good. And then you've got the original odd couple with the two of them like, don't kill Mrs. Cheng. We're defending Mrs. Cheng. Well, she has no chocolate. We'll have to eat Mrs. Cheng because he's a cannibal. And it's just...
It's more of the same.
It's the first movie made $900 million. They were always going to do another one. But I just am watching this like, this did not get me more excited. But maybe I'm a hater. Maybe the fans of Venom will actually love this film. But from my point of view, I didn't really find the first one enjoyable. And this one I thought, this is more of the same. So then I felt that I didn't feel like this would be enjoyable either.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I really like Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's great.
Tom Hardy's great, and I think he'd be a good Eddie Brock in a better movie. I read a comment once, I think it was on Instagram or something like that, but this version of Venom would fit really well with the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
Oh, yes! It would!
Yeah, and I wonder, like, was there any kind of, like, there was a script floating around since that time, and they've just transferred it over.
I'd say they probably did. Like, Sony had that leak.
People.
Sony had the leak in like 2015, but they probably had some transfer over because they were going mad into Andrew Garfield before he left. Like, they wanted to do a whole host of spin-offs.
Oh, we all saw the basement in Oscorp.
Oh yeah, that's what they were going to introduce everybody with. So I mean, they've definitely had a script lying around about Venom and Carnage, and so I think Venom, the first one, just struck me as very 2012.
Yeah.
And I felt like places had moved on, and then this movie comes out, and I'm kind of like, it still strikes me as very 2010 or 11. Like, it's fine.
It's fine, but we have come to know so much better, and it'd be nice to see that with a character like Venom.
Yeah. Okay, so shot. I think that's it for this week's Movie Mondays.
What a week. We've gone through a whole host of things. A lot of sequel talk this week. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Would you like to take us out?
Yes, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We will be back Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and then next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thanks goes out to everyone who supports us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that in the description. And big thanks goes out to all of our lovely patrons over there. Thank you to Waffles Loves You and says protect trans youth, LGBTQIA+ rights are human rights, Kira Lawler, David Clark, Ed Ball, Joe, ratemyhemsworth.com, click rate, click Luke, refresh, repeat, never give up, Hickok didn't, Bernie, Ray, Connor, I think we should see other podcasters. It's not me, it's you, Ging.
Dickhead.
Roisin, Shrodoshin, Halley, Ryan, Satron, Paint, Evanson, Sean, Bone, Jamieson, Dominic, Josiah, Florida, Gal Green, Anna, Maureen has the fry on Helm Roos, Lil Dicky, fought a bear and all I got was a giant croissant, Iguana, McGrew, and Danny McLaughlin. Thank you all very, very much for your support. Really appreciate it. You can join all those people over there. You get access to all of those movie reviews that we've done. We have a merch shop and all of our socials linked down below. But the most important thing, just tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I have been Connor Lawler.
I have been Sean Meehan.
I will see you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.